Your Bibles this morning, turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 in our Bibles. I'm going to read a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, then we'll get to Mark chapter 12 in a few minutes. In 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have." And then in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." We're going to be talking about giving through the month of August, stewardship. And there's some interesting stories when it comes to giving. I was looking at some stories yesterday as far as offerings, trying to get some new ideas of collecting offerings on Sunday morning. There was one church that started passing five-gallon buckets, and because they said they needed more money. And so five-gallon buckets were replaced for the offering plates. I thought that was a pretty decent idea. There's another idea, though. These are true. These are all true. There was a church down in Texas that they would take the offering. The guys would go back and count it. The pastor would get up. They'd continue the service. And then they'd have a system where the pastor would find out how much was given. And a couple of times, it wasn't enough. So he'd stop the service, bring the offering plates back down and say, "You know what? It wasn't enough. We're giving again." All right, and so I was thinking that was a pretty good one. Now, one of my best ones that I've thought is, but once we tell you, then this might mess it up. But I was thinking of getting one of those credit card zappers that we could just, the ushers could kind of be zapping different purses and different things like that. And we could just automatically zap out of your funds. There was a little boy that was going to church, and his father was going to give him some money, so he gave him one of those really nice gold dollar coins, and then he gave him a couple of dimes, and he said, "Son, remember when you get to church to give an offering." And so when he got home, his dad wanted to kind of test him and see, make sure that he understood the importance of giving. And so when he got back home, he said, "Son, so how much did you give?" And he was like, "Well, Dad, I gave a dime." Dad was like, "Well, I gave you a gold dollar coin and two dimes." He said, "Well, Dad, they were teaching on being a cheerful giver. And I knew that if I gave that dollar, I wouldn't be cheerful. So I gave the dime." Now, some of you are like that. And so the less amount that you can give, you think that makes you cheerful. There's a story about a little girl that stood near a small church. She'd been wanting to go into this church, but it seemed really crowded. And so she thought, "Well, I can't go to Sunday school today because it's so crowded. She was there crying, and the pastor walked by, and she was kind of shabby and unkempt in her appearance. The pastor saw her outside and kind of guessed the reason why she was sitting outside, took her by the hand, took her inside, and found a place for her in a Sunday school class. The child was so touched that night she went to bed thinking about having a place to worship and having a place to see Jesus. 2 years later, this child lay dead in one of the poor tenement buildings, and the parents remembered, and she had been going for a little while to this church, remembered the kind pastor and called him. And they asked if he would handle the arrangements for the funeral. As her poor little body was being moved, a worn and crumpled purse was found. And it seemed to have been rummaged from some trash dump. And inside her purse was found 57 cents. There was a note scribbled in childish handwriting. And this is what the note said with the 57 cents. It says, "This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school. For 2 years, this little girl had been saving a love offering. When the pastor read that note, he knew instantly what he would do. He carried the note and the cracked red pocketbook to the pulpit. He told the story of the little girl and of her love and devotion. And he challenged his deacons to get busy. He challenged everybody to get busy and raise enough money for the larger building. But the story doesn't end there. You would say, oh man, that's a neat story. Well, a newspaper learned of the story, published it. It was read by a realtor who offered the little church a parcel of land that was worth thousands of dollars. When told that the church could not pay it because the officers came and the realtor was there and they said, you know, we can't pay that. The realtor said, I would take 57 cents as a payment. Church members made large donations. Checks came from far and wide. Within 5 years, the little girl's 57 cents, and this is many years ago, this is, I know, well over 50 years ago, the little girl's 57 cents had increased to $250,000, a huge sum for that time. Her unselfish love had paid large dividends. And the church is located in Philadelphia. The name of the church was called Temple Baptist Church. They were able to build a huge facility, and then there was Temple University that came, and then later on they were able to take some money and build Good Samaritan Hospital and a Sunday school building, which houses or brings in hundreds of kids every Sunday. In one of the rooms of the building, they still have a picture of the little girl who gave 57 cents so sacrificially. It's a true story. True story there in Philadelphia. And just from a girl that said, you know, I have, the pastor is preaching about giving, and all I have is 57 cents over a period of time. But that 57 cents was turned into a whole lot more. We're going to look at a passage here in Mark chapter 12. We tell that story because we're looking at Mark chapter 12, and we're looking at the widow that had two mites. The widow that had two mites. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, pray this morning as we look at this widow in the treasury, that you would help us to understand the passage, help us to understand more about giving and a biblical way of giving. As always, speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, go before and do what I can't. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here it says that Jesus sat over against the treasury. Now the treasury, if you look up in the Bible, you'll see it found, I believe, the first time in the book of Joshua. There's a couple of times, I think, in Joshua chapter 6 and then later in Joshua chapter 8 that you'll see that the treasury, the word treasury, was used. And in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 8, or in chapter 8, it was because they were going in and they had just destroyed the city of Jericho. And they had taken all the spoils. And if you remember the city of Jericho, God had said everything taken in the city of Jericho was his. They were not allowed to keep it. And that's where we then, in Joshua chapter 7, read about the story of Achan and how that Achan took some of the things that belonged to God. Well, where were they going to keep all the things that were taken in? Well, in chapter 6, we read that Joshua made a treasury. Now, we don't know exactly what the treasury was like for Joshua, but he made a treasury and so that all these goods could be brought in. We also see it in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, you read that the temple, Solomon's temple, had a treasury, and that the monies, and there was, under the law, the Jewish law, there was different gifts and offerings that they would bring in, and they had to be kept somewhere. So it was kept in the treasury. Then we come to this passage where Jesus was looking. He was sitting in the treasury. It seems to be, according to the Bible, the Gospels, that Jesus, it was very common for him to sit by the treasury. Now, the treasury was there in Herod's temple, and it was a place that it was pretty big, all right? And it said that there was 13 boxes, and they were made in the form of trumpets. Now, I take it that the trumpets were kind of shooting up, and that you could come by in those 13 boxes, you would come by and drop in your offering, your tithes and your offering. Well, Jesus sometimes would be watching in the treasury. In the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus many times was teaching in the treasury. Seems to indicate that many times in the treasury area, there would be teachers that would come in and they would talk about different things. Well, Jesus happened to be here, and he was watching people give here in the treasury. So that's a little bit about what the treasury is. And we see that the people are coming in and giving their tithes and offerings. And in the story, and this is not a fable, this is a real story, a true story, Jesus is watching as there are very rich people that are coming in. And a lot of them, I think, probably were Pharisees and scribes. And the Pharisees and scribes basically only did things so that other people would be watching and would be oohed and awed at what they were doing. In fact, in the Bible, when you read about the Pharisees, you'll read something called a phylactery. You'll read about phylactery and you'll read about other things as far as different things with their garments. And you think, well, what does that mean? Well, phylacteries were little portions of scripture that were put on their arms and put on their forehead. Now, I'm not sure if all this is true, but a lot of things with Judaism is handed down from rabbi to rabbi and written in their history. But historical records say that during the time of Christ, some of the phylacteries were huge. And I don't know if they placed them on their arm or if they placed them on the forehead, but the only reason they were doing it is because people would look and say, oh, man, look at that phylactery. It's so huge. Now, I would think that as a teenager, I'd be on the ground laughing. All right, I'd just be laughing like, oh, man, look at that guy's phylactery. All right, duh. All right, and he's got this huge phylactery. And I don't know if it's exactly true, but everything with the Pharisees was to get attention to themselves, which is completely opposite of what God wants in the area of giving. In fact, later on in the New Testament or the Gospels, it says that one hand shouldn't even know what the other hand is giving. And it wasn't saying that when we're giving in the offering. Now, some of you, maybe on Sunday morning now or on Sunday night, you're going to be doing that. The offering plate's going to be coming by and you're going to be looking this way and this hand's going to be given. That's not exactly what Jesus was saying. He was just saying that it shouldn't be something that we're so concerned and looking at and showing and waving it around. And that's the idea presented here in the widow and her offering. You know, there's a common phrase that we use, that money talks. All right, now I've never really heard it talk. All right, sometimes I've heard we've heard my stomach talk and different things like that. But money talks. There's a common phrase. It talks about the person maybe carrying it. Talks about something, maybe somebody that is buying something. But money talks in regards to the giver and the receiver too. It talks with a powerful voice. And this morning, we're going to look at the idea of the money that talked here and the widow. What did the widow's two mites say? Now, it's hard to figure out how much those two mites are. There's all kinds of debate on how much the widow's two mites were. Most believe that even the two combined are less than a penny today. All right, less than a penny. So you would look there and say, man, you know, it doesn't seem like that much compared to here are these rich folks that are pouring in probably hundreds of shekels, hundreds of dollars in our terms. And Jesus looks over, and what does he say about the widow? Man, what she gave was a lot more. Now, why is that? Well, we're going to look at that this morning and look at a couple of things here in regards to the widow. First of all, we see that the widow's gift was a part of her worship. The widow's gift was a part of her worship. Where do we see that? We see that in that she came to the temple to give. She didn't just give it out in the street. There are some people, and this is true in our society today. You can go into our society, and there are people that give a lot of money to a lot of things, but it's really not an act of worship. It's not really anything. All they're doing, there's a lot of corporations. I remember talking to some guys here. They work at some pretty big outfits as far as corporations. And we've joked about it saying, hey, why don't you get your corporation to donate to our academy or donate to our college? And some of them have even said this, the only way my boss will give is there got to be something in it for him. Why is that? Because that's today's society. Some people, they want to have great accolades. They got to have a plaque on some building. Their business has got to be recognized. In fact, I was reading an article yesterday about that. My boys were reading it. It was sitting there, and I said, hey, what's that? And it was about Nike and Florida State University. And Nike, last year, got really upset with Florida State, the coach, because his little boy, who's about 8 years old, after a big win, the little boy came running out and said, hey, Dad. And the boy, Nike, I guess, has a multi-million dollar contract with Florida State to provide them with jerseys and all that. Well, the little boy came out and he had a Florida State sweatshirt, but right here at the top, it had an Under Armour label. So the next day, the athletic director got an email from Nike saying, hey, great victory. But notice that the coach's son had an Under Armour label. I'm like, what in the world? And it's even the article said that Nike has done this to a couple of teams. They have even watched the game, looked at the jerseys, and then confiscated all the jerseys and said, you know what? We can't see our label big enough. They come, they bring them back, put a bigger label on, and send it back to the team. Why is it? Is it because they care for those students? It's all about them because we want them physically fit. We want them to love the game? No, they just want, and I didn't know this, but the athletic apparel in college world last year was $4.6 billion. All right, so next time you're out there buying your Ohio State or whatever, just remember how many billions of dollars that college is getting out of it and that Nike is getting and Under Armour, all these other things. Now, why are they doing all that? Is it because they want people to be physically fit? It has nothing to do with the money at all. Well, that's all it has to do. And sometimes it's the same way in our giving. The only reason we're giving is for recognition. The only reason we're giving is it's not necessarily because it's something that matters to God. And that's what this widow was coming to. She was coming to God's house. She didn't really care that she didn't have a lot. She didn't really care that there was a lot of other people giving more. She wanted to give to God because it was part of her worship. Do you give because it's part of worshiping God? No, giving is part of worship. Read in the Bible and you will see that if you are going to come and worship God, we are supposed to give to God. So we see here that the poor widow believed in giving. And she believed that her giving could be best done in God's house. So the one thing we see is the widow's gift was a part of her worship. Look at secondly, though. The widow's giving was an expression of her love. How do we know that? It was an expression of her love. Because in verse 44, it said that she cast in all that she had. When you give all that you have, I would think that you really care for something. You really care for it. You really, love always gives its best. Love always gives in the best way possible. And so here this widow was giving as an expression of her love. There's a story told of a very wealthy man. He'd never been known for his generosity in the church. And the church was in a big financial program, and they wanted to go and pay this guy a visit. The committee came to his house one afternoon, and they said that in view of his considerable resources, they were sure that he would want to make a substantial donation for this cause. The older man said, I see. He said, so you've got it all figured out, do you? He said, in the course of your investigation, did you discover that I have a widowed mother who has no other means of support but me? And the committee kind of hung their head and said, no, we didn't know that. Then he said, did you know that I have a sister who was left by a drunken husband with five children and no means to provide for her? And they were really starting to hang their head. And he said, did you know also that I have a brother who is crippled due to an automobile accident and can never work another day to support his wife and family? Oh boy, they were really embarrassed now. And they said, you know what, I'm really sorry. We didn't know all that. And then he kept going. He said, well, I've never given any of them a cent. So how do you think I'm going to give you something? Now there's a guy that doesn't have a lot of love, does he? He doesn't have a lot of love. All right, here he has a lot of things. And sometimes there are people that have a lot of something. And we've met some of them. They have a lot of something. And man, they are just crabby, stingy, hateful. And they think that that's going to bring them happiness. And you can just, you want to sit there and smack them and say, don't you see that just having all this isn't going to bring you happiness, because it hasn't. It brings stress, and it brings all kinds of fear. And in fact, that's what the Bible tells us in 1st and 2nd Timothy. It tells us that the love of money and wealth can bring all kinds of snares. Because what about, I've got to get up and look at my stocks, and I've got to look at this, and I've got to look at that. Why? Because it might be taken away. Yeah, it could be. But this lady realized that that's not the most important thing. Here are the two mites, and I don't have a lot. But she gave all that she had. Why is that? Because she loved God. How much do we love God? Her giving, the widow's giving, showed her love. But look what else it showed. In this passage, it shows and it reveals her character. What you give gives you away. You say, oh, here you go. Here comes the squeeze. Well, yeah. Because what you give tells what you are. It really does. She gave more for others than she kept for herself. Did you see this? She gave all that she had, even all her living. And you know what happens for us as a church member sitting here? What I give reveals my character. It tells a lot about myself. You know, because here is that multimillionaire. You can, And all of us have thought this. Here's a man that maybe he has millions and millions of dollars, and he stands up and he's getting his photograph taken with a check as big as this platform. And on the platform, it says $50,000. And some of us are like, whoa, wow. But then all of a sudden it registers as the limousine outside drives him to his private jet. It's just like the shenanigans that a lot of the I call them the liberals, the liberal world. The shenanigans that the liberal world tries to con us with. And some of them, as some people call them, the low information people, a lot of low information people, they take it in because here someone will get up and they'll say, you know what, we need to go green. And all of a sudden we're like, you know, that is right. As that person walks outside to their limousine, going to their five-star resort, and then they will fly home in their private jet, which my little changing my house to some stupid little curly-cue light bulb doesn't match in 50,000 years of what they just used in energy. But you need to back it down there. Well, why don't you just walk or bike? That is just harsh. You didn't notice that's how they always just turn and say, you just seem very hateful. Well, why am I a little hateful? Because here you are sitting in your multi-million dollar home, and your energy in one day surpasses what my whole house uses in light years. And yet, you know, you need to think about going green. Well, you know what? I'm thinking about making you green. That's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to stuff you down with my curlicue light bulbs until you turn green. You'd say, well, why is that? Well, because we know that, what is it? It's hypocrisy, isn't it? Most of us have sat there and we said, that's all hypocrisy. But the same thing happens to you and I in the area of our giving. Because we want to act like we're so spiritual and we're giving so much. And yet, look at all that we have left over. Oh, yeah. You say, well, in fact, I was working on it yesterday. I'm working on a message called Common Myths of Giving. And one of the myths is, I am not rich. That's a lot. Oh, you don't understand. I am not rich. Now, have you ever gone to a third world country? You ever gone there? Have you ever visited a third world country? I can remember visiting in the Philippines. That was when Joey Guerrero was alive. And I remember one evening him saying, hey, let's go and we're going to preach. We're going to preach at one of our mission churches. So he took us, we drove over, and we started walking into an area that had been developed after, Mount Pinatubo erupted. And they had a cardboard village, and I'm saying it was a huge village, and we're weaving through there, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm wondering what this church is going to be like. We go into the church, and the church is packed. I get up and I preach, and then afterwards, we're talking to some of the people, and then Pastor Guerrero comes up and says, hey, these guys have something for me. And they come over, and they hand my wife and I both a gift. I can tell you this much, I felt like a heel. And yet, if I didn't take it, I would have offended them, but I'm thinking, you don't need to be giving me a gift. They're living in cardboard houses. And yet, that is the spirit of Christianity. What is the spirit of Christianity? When I am a right type of Christian, giving just comes out. It's part of my character. And I can tell you this, when you are a good Christian, giving is natural. Giving is something that just flows out of you. It's like, hey, do they need something? I want to give. Oh, what do they need? I want to give. Well, hey, you need some extra. When you're a right type of Christian, you're not worried about that. Because just as the testimony said, you know what? God will take care of you. And it may not be that God's going to, I don't give so that I can be a millionaire. Because I don't think God wants me to be a millionaire. But you know what you'll find? You can live like one. You say, well, how's that? God takes care of every need. Every need he supplies. And it may not be financial all the time. But there are some that, man, physical. I get up and I thank God every day for the physical health that he's given me. You can't put a price tag on it. You can't put a price tag on your physical well-being. And yet God says, hey, I'll take care of it. But you know what? That isn't everything. Let's say that I give and I get a sickness. Oh, see? God didn't take care of you. No. Because what you'd have to do is go and sit down with that person that's a good Christian, even in sickness. They love God. I've met some people, man, they are bent over with illness, but they still, as a Christian, what are they thinking about? Others. Because that is the spirit of giving. That's the spirit of a Christian and his giving. You know, Christmas is a fun time to think about others, isn't it? I'm not saying that you have to spend millions of dollars, maybe not even thousands. You know what? You should spend, you know, a few cents. You know, my kids, their favorite shopping is Dollar Tree at Christmas. That just thrills their soul to get so much nasty stuff for so cheap a price. But some, as far as the giving, is the time, isn't it, that you put into the gift? It's thinking it through the year. Different thinking through the different people that you care about and saying, you know what, man, I think they'd really enjoy this. I think they'd like that. That is some of the joy of giving. And I think that the idea of Christmas, it's a Christian idea. We know that. We celebrate Christmas because it's Christ's birth. But the idea, the whole spirit of Christmas, as the world understands it, is Christian, whether they like it or not. Because what is it about? It's thinking about others. And it reveals our character. You know, some of us have had maybe some funny gifts. You know, I heard of one guy that got a bathroom scale for his for a gift, I think from his in-laws. Now, I don't know what that meant. You know what I mean? A bathroom scale. Maybe you're too fat, lose weight. All right, that's kind of an odd gift. There was another one that I read about that they gave someone a gift and they didn't like it. And they said, hey, if you don't like it, just give it back to us and we'll go exchange it. And they said they gave it back to him, they exchanged it, and they never gave him the gift back. Now, I was thinking that was a pretty good idea. My kids, they would be right there with that one. Like, oh, saved a whole lot of money. You get the joy of giving and the joy of getting at the same time. All right? But giving should reveal something about our character. And as you are thinking of giving to God, does it hurt? Does it start saying, oh, you know what? I don't know about that. As a Christian, we need to look at this widow. Because the widow, she wasn't coming in and they weren't prying her fingers off the two mites. They weren't doing that. Her giving revealed her character. But then the last thing is, her giving was known by God. And it's the same for you and I. Where do we see that? Jesus sat over against the treasury. It says, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. And then he said, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Jesus sits over today in the treasury. He sits and he watches us as Christians and he's monitoring how we give. He tries, and it's not something that we can hide from him. Because Jesus, he can see everything. He can see, the Bible tells us that the Word of God, which we believe is a picture of Jesus Christ, he sees all the way down. And he sees the motives. He sees all the way inside our hearts where nobody else can see. And he watches there. And as Jesus is watching you, does he see your heart right in the area of giving? Does he see that your hands are holding on? Does he see that basically you're a hypocrite? You're a Pharisee. You're hoping that everybody will take note. Maybe he sees that you are kind of like an Ananias and Sapphira. You want everybody to think that you are this great giver, but you're holding back. You're holding back, and God sees all that. God sees all of it. God measures the heart rather than the amount of the gift. And for some people, when they read this, passage, and this is how you can tell if you're a good Christian. When you read this passage and you say, wow, this is great. I can only give a penny. There's something wrong with you. All right, there's something wrong with you. Oh, yes, I knew I was giving too much. If that's your take from this, yes, you got a problem with covetousness. Well, actually, you got a problem with interpretation of Scripture, too. You got a lot of problems, and what is it? It's because your heart isn't right. Because Jesus sees our heart. One man wrote a poem about the treasury. And this is, it's a phenomenal poem. It's called Over Against the Treasury. Unnoted, he sat by the temple gate while the rich and poor passed by. And he read their hearts as they dropped their gifts neath the gaze of his searching eye. Each gift he weighed in a subtle scale as it dropped in the temple store. And the pain it cost and the sacrifice and the burden of love it bore. But the piercing eye of the watching Christ looked not at the proffered gold. Not what did he give was his searching test, but how much did he withhold? By that standard stern, the rich man's tithe was shamed by the widow's mite. For she gave her all while he kept his wealth as he passed from the master's sight. By the gates of the treasury still he sits and watches the gifts we bring. And he measures the gold that we give to him by the gold to which we cling. How much to revive a starving world? How much for our pampered plates? How much to extend the king's frontiers? How much for our own estates? How much have you sent to the mission field to invest in the souls of men? How much to your broker for stocks and bonds to return to yourself again? Is it mammon or God who holds the key to the vault where your treasure lies? There's a curse or a blessing locked within that will follow beyond the skies. For the hour will come when the wealth of earth recedes from our slackened grasp, and the gold and the goods we have given away are all that our hands can clasp. O Master of men, spur our lagging zeal till we answer the kingdom's call and lay on the altar a worthy gift, ourselves and our gold and our all. God is still watching there in the treasury. He sees the widow. He sees the wealthy. He sees you. He sees your heart. What is your attitude, your heart attitude, when it comes to giving? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the widow and what she can teach us in this area of giving. I pray that you would bless. Lord, help us to be pondering and considering this month our attitudes in regards to giving. And help us to do what you say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed and eyes closed.